They're just wired differently from other kids. So start speaking life into that. Start recognizing that. And if you have nothing positive that you can notice in your child, look at where they're tanking and realize that that's probably Satan and the flesh twisting something that God has gifted them in.
Welcome to Truth, Love, Parent, where we use God's Word to become intentional, premeditated parents. Here's your host, A.M. Brewster.
Here are my only opening thoughts today. You need to sign up for the Gospel Tech Online Workshop. Listen, I'm not getting paid to say this. I get nothing from this endorsement. All I can say is that it's a fantastic resource that will greatly help your family. And from now to the end of April 2021, you can get it for 50% off. What is there not to love? Just click on the link in the description of this episode and sign up. Trust me, you won't regret it. And with that, I give you part four of my conversation with Nathan and Anna Sutherland from Flint and Iron and the Gospel Tech Podcast. Welcome back, friends. I am A.M. Brewster, and this is Truth, Love, Parent. And if you're returning for the fourth part of this awesome interview with Nathan and Anna Sutherland, then you are definitely in the right place. But if you have not yet heard the first three parts, you need to check those out first. Otherwise, today's conversation just won't have the appropriate context for you to understand how it relates to our kids and their tech usage. Now, for those of you returning, I want to start today's show by encouraging all of you to consider how the Lord may use you to spread biblical parenting content around the world. Yes, you. At the time of this recording, Flint and Iron is a nonprofit, and Truth Love Parent is waiting on our final documentation from the government. Hey, government, if you're listening, you could just send that along for our own 501c3 status. That means that both of these ministries rely heavily on the faithful support of the individuals who are blessed by our content. When families like yours partner with ministries like ours, it enables us to receive more training, create more resources, reach more families, and help turn this world upside down for God. Our blog is called Taking Back the Family, and everyone who financially supports ministries like ours are helping us to do just that. We're trying to take back the family for God's honor and glory. So whether you stop this episode right now, so you can head over to flintandiron.org or truthloveparent.org, or you visit those sites after we're done, we thank you for prayerfully considering how you can help us serve as many families as possible. And with that, I welcome back to the show Nathan and Anna Sutherland from Flint and Iron and the Gospel Tech Podcast. How you guys doing?
Hi, good.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been so long. I mean, I hadn't talked to you guys for like a solid... No, wait, we actually never stopped. Okay. All right, by way of introduction, I want to say that you two are official members of our three interview club. Your reward Woo! Can be found emblazoned on your special guest page at truthloveparent.com. I hope you guys check that out. And that is hugely awesome because you are currently the only guests with that award. We did have another, but she ended up doing five episodes with us, and she was upgraded to our five interview award. Now, in my opinion...
Wow, is there like a jacket that comes with
your
that?
Your five-timer club.
It's a beautiful award that's digital on your special. I mean, really, like you'll want to print it out and hang it in your house, no doubt. But it's really, yeah, it's very prestigious. And though the three interview award is amazing, and you guys right now are the only ones who currently have that, I still, in my opinion, just think that that means that we need to have you guys on for a fifth episode. You're so close. You're at four. I mean, we just need one
so
more.
So close.
It's true. That is incentivizing.
Exactly. So if you guys just join us for one more episode, you too could say that you are proud owners of the coveted five interview award.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. To make it
yeah, so
happen.
Think about it.
We're going to put that in there then.
We'll definitely be thinking about what awesome tech episode or multi-part interview we can collaborate on the next time, because this is my best attempt at gamification to get you guys hooked, right, and coming back. But for right now, I have one more tech trivia question I want to ask you guys today. All right, we've talked about tech that we've used and abused to make it do what we wanted it to do. We've talked about our favorite tech from high school, and we're unfortunately reminded about a bunch of terrible things from the 90s. But today, I'm curious about your favorite tech from today. From today, okay? So be thinking about this. For me, at this moment, right here and right now, my favorite technology is actually, believe it or not, my word processing program on my computer. Yes, now, many of you probably don't know this, but I write 20 to 30 pages of documents every week. Yes, they are double-spaced, but they're only 12-point font, all right? But 20 to 30 pages a week. It may be work for Truth, Love, Parent or the Celebration of God podcasts. It may be books or sermons or for counseling or my own personal projects, but I write all of the time. So my favorite tech at the moment is Pages. That's the Mac word processing software I use all day, every day. And while I'm at it, I guess just for kicks, my second piece of tech is my second favorite piece is my standing desk. I absolutely love standing at my computer as I write those pages and pages of biblical parenting material. So that's me. Those are my favorites. What about you guys? What tech are you totally loving these days?
Those are good.
That is good. Yeah. I just discovered, I think it's new, but I never really know if something's new. I listen to our music on our Amazon Music app.
Yep.
And previously, it's on my dashboard. My phone's on my dashboard connected to the Bluetooth. But to log in and change, I would have to like put in my password and change.
Which she wouldn't, of course.
I would tell the kids, I got it. They're like, change the song. And I'm like, I can't. We got to get to a red light or I have to pull over. But sometimes it just, temptation was very strong to change the song. But just this week, Amazon has popped up. It's like how Google Maps stays up. Like when you're, it doesn't close down the app and make me log in. And it's like you're in car mode and it keeps my playlist up. So I can now be a safe driver with my children.
And have awesome
and
tunes.
Still have your music. And, yes, exactly.
Yes. It felt like
which
a real
means
thing.
If you listen, if you listen to Truth Love Parent, you can now listen to that uninterrupted on Amazon too. So there's that.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Yes. Yeah.
Done.
The
seamless.
Car mode. Yeah. I didn't that was a I feel like that should have been around
a long
time.
I've not seen that yet, but that's also because I write in silence a lot. So I have so many thoughts. There's no time to think them. Yeah, I would think that my current favorite piece of tech, and I didn't go with the one that I use the most. It's the one that I like look forward to using the most, if I can use that, is actually a cycling training app called Trainer Road. So that's super nerdy. And if you're not into cycling, that doesn't matter to you. But that's one of my favorite outdoor. Actually, if you're on the video right here behind me, I got suckered into doing a 200-mile one-day ride about 8 years ago with some friends. Okay. And I'd never really cycled before at all. And so I spent 6 months prepping and did it. And was like, that was actually awesome. I don't hate endurance sports because prior to that, my only idea of endurance was when I wrestled. And it was always punishment, right? Like, you're going to run because you didn't do well enough. So I love that. The Trainer Road app does an amazing job of making it, like, accessible. They are not pretentious, which cycling can often be, like, kind of the gulf of endurance sports, where it's just a bunch of people with a ton of cash looking down on you because you showed up in mismatched outfits. So I really, they're amazing. They have a great resource, and they do a really high-quality product. And it keeps me from... it keeps me level. In this job, I have a lot of stress. So that kind of cycling in the Northwest, I can't always do outdoor rides. So I can just jump on a trainer and go nuts.
That's actually really cool. I'm not the road bike guy. I'm not the stationary bike guy. I personally am the mountain bike guy. I love to find a super tall mountain where like the trails between the trees are only about as wide as your handlebars and just like
some single
fly
track
down those. Oh, yes. I hate going up, but I love the going down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, there's some mountain bikers in this. It's not all roadies.
Okay, cool. Very awesome. Very awesome. All right. Thank you so much for that. It's so great getting to know you guys this way. And I think it's awesome, especially because, you know, we're also engaged in the tech world to know what you guys are using. Now let's go ahead and review a little bit before we move forward, because we do have some important things to talk about today, some of which are going to sound an awful lot like getting out there and riding bikes. But we've talked about tool tech and drool tech, and we've also established that both can glorify God. There is a place in your family life for drool tech, but it's got to glorify God, okay? We need to recognize that. But we also discussed doing a tech reset in order to discover whether our technology use is unhealthy. After that, we learned how we can start addressing the problems with our tech by creating a family tech framework. But today we're going to discuss this awesome concept you've so ingeniously entitled Analog Adventures. And last time when we left off, we were talking about, okay, so we're cutting out the bad tech, right? Whether it's tool tech or drool tech that I'm not using to God's honor and glory, we've cut that out. And now we got this time that, you know, I was being pulled to pull the phone out. I was being drawn to the TV, but oh, that's right. We made this family tech framework. We're not doing that anymore. What are we going to do? So for starters, guys, what are analog adventures?
Yeah, I think for this, because there's a lot of confusion on this. People hear that and they're like, oh, like that's anti-tech. And that's not true. What I like about analog adventures is it specifically draws this line between overstimulating kind of consumption tech and tech that helps us create and helps us inspire and really helps us use our gifts, interests, and passions that God's given us. So tool tech can be an analog adventure. I know that's not technically analog, but the idea here is we're pulling out the things that are overstimulating, the things that are stealing really our joy and our passion and our initiative, and we're replacing them with things that God has hardwired into us that are going to be unique to us. Most of these are going to be activities that are unplugged, but if it's creation focused, so making music, even if it happens to be digital, would count. Making a video, and there's definitely an argument that making video games would count at this because those skills are coming out of your brain. They're operating at the pace of real life, and it's an opportunity for you to express what you're passionate about, to tell a story and to do all those things that are really you being made in the image of God. So I think when we talk analog adventures, it's pulling out the unhealthy, overstimulating consumption, and it's replacing with the real-time pace of life, creative and driven by the gifts, interests, and passions that God's given you.
Okay, I love that. I love the way you describe that. Now, we're going to talk about some specific, you've named a couple of them already, but we're going to talk about some specific types of analog adventures that you might want to consider for your family and for your kids. But that's a great way of looking at it. It's not just unplugged necessarily from tech. It may still be plugged into tech, but it's specifically going, at, like you said, at the pace of life, which I think is really important. It's us working the tech instead of the tech working us, which I was what we're discussing from day one on this. But here's the question, and maybe it's again too similar to the first one, but why are analog adventures so important in our lives? Why do we need them?
Sure, I could start. I think we talked a little bit about this in the last one, but I think that tech, and especially drool tech, is often just the easiest option. It's easy to default to that. It's the path of least resistance for me to pick up my phone and scroll or to watch a show. And that just can really easily become the default. And it is really exciting, and it is low engage. Like, I don't have to do a lot to have a lot of fun. Yeah. But if that's all I'm ever cultivating, especially as a parent, if that's all my child is cultivating, I am neglecting to steward the gifts that God has given that child, right? Like, if I never encourage my sons to do anything except watch a show, they're going to miss out on some of the things that they've been designed to maybe be good at. And I think that's a big part of our job as parents is to, we have a really special spot in our children's lives to be able to speak life into them. And we get to see them and see how they've been designed and to try and encourage that in them and encourage those giftings and passions that we're seeing.
Yeah. And I want to stop any of the spiraling that I can hear it happening right now to parents who are going, man, like, I work two jobs, or like, right, our life is crazy, or this season, like, how could I do anything but, like, my kids are in school on the laptops, like, they're driving me nuts, I've got work to do, like, how could I possibly, like, this is great, yes, I wish I also was a millionaire, like, living off on acreage somewhere where my kids go play outside all the time, but this isn't realistic for me, and that's, we are going to address that later. I promise you this is realistic for you. I agree that our culture has just kind of accepted this as the new normal. So when I have parents go, hey, all of my son's friends play video games, or everyone in our cul-de-sac is inside on social media, like, my kid's outside alone, I don't think that means go join them.
That's literally our kid.
Like,
outside
you,
alone.
You might have to spearhead this cultural shift of our children need to get back to a spot where there is some way. Like, yeah, our culture has moved away from the opportunities to see people. Partly, obviously, COVID has tanked this and has made us kind of a separate situation. But here in the Northwest, we are opening. We can meet in groups of five or greater with people that aren't family members. And so, right? But that's like, there's that. It's crazy the number of things that opens up when it comes to sports, when it comes to opportunities, when it comes to play dates. Like, five people, like, we'll take that after 16 months. So I guess I would just say this. If you're that parent saying, man, what does that even mean to me? We are not telling you you have to make something that you're not. We're saying, simply do what you've been doing since your kids started cooing, right? They started cooing, you're like, they're going to be a rocket scientist. They're the best. We as parents constantly are looking for what are our kids good at? What is unique about them? And your child does, they're just wired differently from other kids. So start speaking life into that. Start recognizing that. And if you have nothing positive that you can notice in your child, look at where they're tanking and realize that that's probably Satan and the flesh twisting something that God has gifted them in. There's a reason that thing is a stumbling point for them. And it's probably because of a way that they're wired, of something God's actually put in them that's an amazing opportunity that's just being twisted and distorted. So that would be my encouragement as we step into this. Please don't shut us off this early. Because you go, we unrealistic, right? Because I don't know.
It is a battle. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It is. Well, it's a culture shock is really what it is. I used to be the director of a day camp program, and we were in the outskirts of the Chicagoland area, about 40 minutes outside the city. And we would sometimes have these picnic days where we'd serve lunch out on the grounds. And I no doubt, this is crazy. I know. I would have 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds outside with hamburgers and this type of stuff, and they don't want to sit on the grass. They're like, you want me to do what? They want the outdoors in particular. It just happens to be one of those places that we have to basically tolerate, from our house to our vehicle, from our vehicle to whatever building we're going into next. And it's sad, and I understand there are people who feel that way. But analog adventures don't just have to be outdoors. There are lots of things, and we're going to talk about that more in a couple minutes. Really, another thing I thought about too, and I'm the king of like terrible movie metaphors. But are you guys familiar with The Matrix, which you should probably watch on Clearplay or VidAngel? Yeah,
VidAngel. That's what it was.
The Matrix is. Oh, you did? Okay. Well, The Matrix really has a great picture to it. The idea is that spoiler alert. These people are jacked into a computer program. Their bodies have never used their muscles. They've never used their eyes. They're in a coma-like state their entire lives, but they believe that they are living this full life in this computer-generated reality. And when they're finally freed from that real life, they're able to do all the things that they were created to do. And I think that's really what our technology is doing. I don't want to get too dramatic, okay? Like, you guys are stuck in the Matrix. But we do need to see it for what it really is. You guys have beautifully said that your children and you were created to do specific things. And you cannot accomplish those things when you're all sitting down staring at a television or staring at a device. You just can't. That is the lowest common denominator. Anybody can do that. It takes no skill. It takes no Christ honoring anything to do that. That doesn't mean it's always bad, but it means that you definitely can't reach your full potential if that's all you're ever doing. So I love the way you guys are describing these analog adventures. I love the whole concept, but I think that many people, or like many people, creating analog adventures may not, as you've already alluded to, may not be as easy as just making my family go on a hike with me or swim at the city pool, or we're all going to learn origami, okay? Right. No doubt we're going to encounter some hurdles in this process of not only introducing analog adventures to our family, but also coming up with ones that we all are happy to be on. So how do we create analog adventures for our family without maybe tripping over some of these hurdles?
Yeah, that's an awesome question.
Yes, well, I have one resource that I think we didn't talk about plugging this, but Greta Eskridge,
Greta.
She does a great job on her blog and her Instagram, and she has a book called Adventuring Together that walks you through this. So if you're somebody who's in a spot where you're really wanting more on this specifically, I would recommend Greta's book for that. And I think she does address that, some of these hurdles of, we don't have all this money to spend on extracurriculars,
right,
or like she walks you through, like, reading can be an analog adventure, and it can be something that's creating culture in your family, and there can be adventure that takes place through that, and it can just be little outings, and she kind of validates some of that and how to create that spirit in your family. So if you're looking for a supplemental resource, I think that'd be a good spot to start.
Awesome.
But how can we combat? What did you want to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole section of the family framework on this, and this is the reason. So
did a whole podcast on this recently too, right? Just podcast about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you go through the resource, basically there's this whole like 2-page spread with all these options. But the point it's trying to drive across is that, I'm trying to answer like 3 questions at once in my own head, but I think the idea is, there is no one fit, right? This was the big piece when we were starting Gospel Tech. His parents were like, well, what should my kid do instead? We know this is a problem. We've seen the unhealthy behavior. just tell me what my kids should do. Like, I don't know your kid. Like, I am happy. Like, I have done these like 30-minute coaching sessions, basically, where we tackle this one question and we talk through kind of, well, what would a next step even look like? But I'll break it down to this. The first piece would be what I've said. You need to look at your kids' gifts, interests, and passions. So I have three nephews that I'll discuss. I have like 18 nieces and nephews, but let's talk about three of them. These three young men all had different tech issues from different reasons, right? Some of them were social issues. Some of them were their content and search history issues. Some of them were their time management and attention issues, sleep issues. So we have these three of my nephews. They're all dealing with differently. Well, their parents looked at their lives and were like, man, this first young man loves working with his hands. He loves being outdoors. And they actually got him into like hobby woodworking. He ended up getting into wood turning, and he now, he goes and finds fallen wood out in the East Coast, and he makes these beautiful maple bowls that he sells on Etsy. And so he's, you know, high school kid turning these giant, gorgeous bowls out that are amazing. And they're all out of fall wood. It's all reclaimed product. And he spends hours doing this, making these. And he has upgraded his equipment and gotten more intense and makes videos of it now. And like, they're beautiful. And they sell for really good cash for him. But he didn't do it for the money. He did it because this was something he's passionate about. And he got interested. Well, other nephew got into tech issues. His reset was an entirely different set of circumstances. And he also struggles sometimes academically, but he is passionate about working with his hands, but not with wood, not making art. He wants to make stuff out of metal. And this young man, his parents were like, hey, we'll go 50-50 on this old busted down dirt bike. He got it. He worked on it for 3 months. He flipped it for three times the price. He bought two dirt bikes that he's now fixing up. He's right. And now he has this thing he's doing on his weekends. He's doing it in the evenings. He's doing it outside in the rain when they couldn't get him to get off his derriere, right? He has this thing that is driving from his passions and his interests. Now, that doesn't make him good, but I would say this as an aside that I intended to say earlier. The reason we care about analog adventures and the reason we care about what's driving them is because the closer we can get connected with awe and things that just make us stand in amazement that, like, I didn't even know I could do that. I don't even know where that came from. It starts to make us ask questions. Like, we know how the brain works, but we don't know why it works, right? We don't understand the mind, the idea that, like, I have a question, but why do I have that question, right? Like, that's this piece of, like, anytime we can be inspired and follow that inspiration or in awe of something, it draws us closer to the source of that awe. And so when we are creating and making and recognizing, like, this is a tool and a talent that I've been given that I can steward, that's an amazing talking point and an amazing testimony point for our kids who are sinners and unbelievers at the youngest ages. And we need to, really point them back to where they get that from. So then the third young man, very similar kind of premise story of problems with tech, sleep, attention, got into robotics. Now, and he got into competitions and is doing that. It's basically like DECA, like the business side, but they build things and go to competitions for robots. And what I love about that is none of these are plug and play. The robotics kid could not do the woodworking. He could not do the welding. The welding kid could not do the woodworking. Right? Like, it isn't, well, that worked for your kid, therefore I'll take it and plug it into mine. It really is like taking that risk. So that's the first piece. That's why we plug that. And then the second piece is recognizing the season you're in. Like, some of you don't have the space in your home for a lathe. Like, I get that. Don't just put one in your kitchen. The idea is, do I have the time? Do I have the space or location? And do I have the resource? Right? So in our life, like, this is cool. Like, my son Owen wants to go out and he wants to go skiing. We have amazing skiing here in the Northwest. I got five mountains around me within a 2-hour drive that all have incredible skiing and are family friendly. It's amazing. But it's going to take 24 hours out of our day, right? We got to prep. We got to go. We got to clean up when we come back. And it's just me and Owen. And it costs like $300 for the two of us to go because I don't currently own the equipment. And if I was to buy it, it'd be more. So for us, that's not going to work. But sledding is something we have in our area. It's a fraction of the cost. The whole family can go. And it's still on the snow. It's still fun. It's still age appropriate. So basically what I'm saying on that second piece is don't worry so much about, like, how can I keep up with the Joneses or how can I get my kid into that really cool sport? But just how can I find a way to say yes? How can I find a win with this kid in an area that is going to be healthy and is going to may not work perfectly the first time. Maybe that they didn't like that sport. They want to do this one. Like, great. But the idea is working on that way to say yes and making it a priority, scheduling that in for your family, even if it is 15 minutes, right? Like, reading aloud, 10 to 15 minutes can be a win. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I want to jump in here real quick. We don't have a ton of time, but this is one particular thing that really it requires so much more conversation over for each person to be able to truly grab onto it. So two ideas I want to mention, and then I want to get some resources out there for you guys. First of all, this is about detaching from the tech that we've already identified as unhealthy and plugging into not another unhealthy thing that's we're going to just consume for our own pleasures, okay? It's about worshiping God, celebrating who he is, celebrating who he created us to be, and realizing our full potential in him. That's what the analog adventures are all about, which requires us to know who God created us or is creating us to be. Now, a resource that I think might be helpful for you is a podcast episode, a series I did a little while back called basically helping God help your children find God's will for their lives, which also involves helping your children find God's will for their occupation. Now, it's specifically talking about helping children to discern what they want to do when they grow up, right? But I mentioned a resource and there, a tool that I created that can be a very similar thing for you to use with your older kids. With your younger kids, it's probably a little bit easier. Honestly, they don't even know who they are. And you have this awesome opportunity as a parent to get to know them. Okay. And that's really what I want to push. I want to encourage. The thing about the analog adventures is, yes, we want to do this. We want to create this. But the most beautiful piece, I believe, of the whole analog adventure thing, beside the time that you spend with your children doing this, is that you're actually getting to know them. The only way that you can lead them into a Christ-honoring analog adventure is for you to know them well enough to know what's going to work for them. So this is going to involve asking questions and trying something. I mean, if you saw that new Pixar movie, Soul, they go and they're trying to help this little soul discover what it's good at. And basically it doesn't like anything. They try everything imaginable. And this little person's like, eh. But maybe that's going to take a lot of that. Maybe it's going to take board games. Maybe it's going to take origami. Maybe it's going to take music. Maybe it's going to take who knows how many things before you actually find something that really lights up their eyes and they're excited about. That's great. That is awesome. Those experiences will be so good for them. So the beautiful thing about this is that you get to really know your child and you have to do the work to do that. Now, the other resource I wanted to share was this. It came to me as you guys were talking. It's a book called, it's written by two teenage brothers called Do Hard Things. Really great for your older kids. It just talks about how God has created them with so much potential, so much beautiful ability that they need to go out there and they need to recognize what that is. And they need to do those hard things because that's what God created them to do. Fantastic book. Highly recommend it. In fact, my 13-year-old is reading that right now. Amazing book. So again, there's so much that we could talk about. And I really don't know about you guys, but for me anyway, talking about this and hearing the Sutherlands discuss it makes me want to go out and have more analog adventures. Mm-hmm. And no doubt there are some of you who feel that way. And there are some of you who are still very leery. Okay. So for those of you who maybe don't feel that way, all right, perhaps unplugging from the matrix, unplugging from your tech and interacting with your family in the world that God created may just scare the living daylights out of you. If that's the case, this is specifically for you. Please reach out to us at counselor@truthloveparent.com or give us a call at 828-423-0894. We would love to help you achieve Christ-honoring tech use in your life. Once again, be able to glorify God with relationship edifying, individual enriching analog adventures. Because really, listening to a podcast like this is really helpful. Some of you, man, your gears are going. You're like, oh, I have all these great ideas. But some of you still are uncertain and you're not really sure how to step through this. And we want to help you in any way that we can to be able to have these analog adventures in a successful way. Also, all of you, please share this interview on social media. Purchase the Gospel Tech Online Workshop for 50% off through the end of April 2021, all right? Subscribe to the Gospel Tech and the Truth Love Parent podcasts, and please be encouraged that Nathan, Anna, and I are committed to helping this be your family's most Christ-honoring year to date. We want you to be successful. And I really hope you'll join us next time as we open God's Word to discover how to parent our children for life and godliness. Anna, Nathan, thank you so much for helping us in this process. It's so beautiful. I know there was so much more we could say, but you do say a lot more on your podcast. So direct the listeners to where they need to go to find more material specifically about these analog adventures so that they can start putting it to practice in their home.
Okay. I think the first one would be the Gospel Tech Workshop. So you can either just go gospeltechworkshop.com or gospeltech.net. And
No. What, go to it through truthloveparent.com so you can get that 50% discount.
Yes, that's what you want to do. Thank you. Do that. That's what you need to do. So that's the first one. The second one is us online. So you can go at Love God, Use Tech on Facebook or Instagram. And those are kind of the daily reminders. And then the Gospel Tech Podcast, where you can find anywhere podcasts are playing.
Awesome. And they definitely are going to help you parent your children for life and godliness, just like we want to do on our next episode. So to that end, I will actually be continuing the tech discussion this Saturday by having a conversation with Chris Casper, the CEO of Techless and the creator of the Wise Phone. He's a man who loves God, and he's created a piece of tech that may help your families love God and use tech better. I'll see you then.